The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Hey, this morning, grab your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to be in the second half of Isaiah 40. That's where we're going to start. And then put a finger or put a little, what are those things called? A little streamer? Bookmark. Yeah, in Psalm 18. We're going to be looking at Psalm 18. But before that, here's a little story time for you, a little kind of back in the day, Rick story. I was part of an outlaw racing team here in Sacramento. If anybody watches Street Outlaws or whatever, we weren't quite that crazy, but I was. It was called Homestead Racing. We were kind of based out of the Granite Bay, Roseville area before Granite Bay became Granite Bay, and there was a lot of great back streets and stuff, back roads out there. We had three vehicles that were kind of our star, our feature vehicles in our racing team. The first was a 59 Chevy Apache. If anybody's knows old classic trucks, 59 Chevy Apache, and it had a huge Corvette engine in it. It was such a monster that we had to throw, some of you guys will remember this, we had to throw bags of cement into the bed just to get enough traction on that thing. It was a monster off the line. One of my other friends had a turbocharged McLaren Mustang. That thing was a monster as well. That was a ton of fun. He actually took out the back seat and it was all speakers back in the day. He actually had to have like giant speaker cabinets just to have like, you know, cool music and stuff. And so if we weren't going deaf from the engine, we were going deaf from the music we were playing. And then my other friend, he took a slightly different track, and he had a VW GTI, one of the first GTIs that came out. And his license plate said Nuprin. I don't know if you guys remember that little medicine Nuprin, because his GTI was yellow and it was much smaller than the muscle cars and muscle trucks that we had. So it was nicknamed Nuprin, little different yellow. And I was the light man, and so I sat in the shotgun seat and I watched the cross lights and gave countdowns as it went from yellow to red so that we could fire off the line on our green, and we had a great time. One of the things that we would do when we weren't racing other groups and teams or just other people, we were out, you know, looking for trouble back then. One of the things that was a kind of a favorite was a burnout. A burnout is also called a break stand. And here's kind of the deal. I think everybody kind of knows what a burnout is. This is lots of smoke, lots of noise, lots of energy. You know, the engine's rawr, and smoke's just pouring out of the back of the vehicle. But there's no movement. And this is actually really important for this morning. Why is there no movement? Well, it's really simple, because you have one foot on the gas pedal, but the other foot is pushing just as hard on the brake pedal. And so you're literally locked, you're locking the front end of the vehicle and braking loose the back end of the vehicle. You're not going anywhere. You're making tons of noise. You're making tons of tire pollution. Okay, confession time. We actually found this neighborhood that hadn't been built yet, but they had laid the asphalt for the roads, and it was fresh. And my buddy did a brake stand so long that he melted the oil out and left a divot on the road. I was actually not there that day, but they took pictures. And yeah, seriously, whatever. Report me. It's all good. Anyways, but here's the thing. This morning, I want to talk about burnout this morning. This is a thing in our lives. I think that it's really important, and it's very interesting, the text this morning, and it's very interesting that this text landing in this time of this season that we're in here, and kind of our cultural climate. I don't know about you, but burnout is rampant. I think a lot of us are feeling this. Another word for this is mission fatigue. We're just tired. We're tired of it. We're tired of the political stuff. We're tired of the cultural stuff. We're tired of the pandemic stuff. Everybody's just like, oh my gosh, can we just go to the next thing already? I want to unpack this a little bit for us. Now, the definition of burnout is exhaustion of physical or emotional strength or motivation, usually as a result of prolonged stress or frustration. Does that sound like anybody? Anybody feeling that lately? What I'd like to do is I'd like to actually add into Webster's definition there that also it's exhaustion of spiritual strength and spiritual motivation due to prolonged stress or frustration. Because for us as followers of Jesus, we're not just physical creatures. We're not just emotional creatures. We are all spiritual beings. And the reality is that we suffer burnout in all of these different areas of our life. Let's get really nerdy for a second. This is fun. I did a little digging. The first known usage of the phrase burnout was in the early 1940s. Now, think back to what was going on in history in the 1940s and where this came from. Ironically, burnout in a different usage, where it was literally like to set fire to something, that was like back in the original usage of this was back in like the 1700s. But for us, it is really important because the synonyms of this idea are the words that are similar that describe this: fatigue, frazzle, weariness. Does that sound like anybody? Anybody feeling that emotionally or physically or spiritually in their life? I'm sure that some of you guys are. I know that I am. The antonyms, the things that are the opposite of this idea of burnout, would be refreshment, rejuvenation, revitalization. I don't know about you. I need that. I need that in my life. Right now, I need some refreshment and some revitalization. I need some rejuvenation. We have been through a heck of a year, and these are the kinds of things that we need to be aware of as followers of Jesus, because the reality is that some of this can be avoided. As a matter of fact, some of this is self-inflicted. As much as we think about the externals, what we're going to find today is that Isaiah puts a very, and in the Psalms, puts a very fine focus on the fact that it's you that's causing your burnout. It's me. I'm causing my burnout. So here we go. In Isaiah 40, what I want to share with you guys this morning is that there are two things that we do to create burnout. Would anybody like to know? Would anybody be interested in finding out two of the things that the scripture points to that are our personal causes of burnout in our lives? Anybody? You guys can just type yes, please. And then after that, what I want to share with you guys in Psalm 18 are three things the Lord is that create new strength. This is our tension. Burnout, our burnout versus God's new strength. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we look forward to what you're going to unpack for us. We just desire to know and hear and learn from you and be guided by you as we go into this week. Lord, open our hearts and our eyes and our minds to areas where we may need to do some work, where we may need to do some house cleaning, housekeeping. And Lord, open our hearts and our minds to the realities of who you are and what you are offering to us as your followers that we need to embrace into our lives. Amen. Well, the first thing we're going to do here is we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 18 through 31. So if you turn there and if you follow along with me, you're going to see there's going to be this interesting repetition. And you actually heard it already from the Bennetts. You're going to hear a question, and then the question is going to repeat twice. And the focus of that is a question about God. And then the second is a statement about our situation, our condition. Okay? So here we go. This is verse 18. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that won't decay, and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down. I love Isaiah. I love the irony and the poking as a prophet here. He's like, I love that kind of stuff. Now listen to this. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God, the words he gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? This is like that, hello, McFly. Hello, anybody there? I mean, literally, like Isaiah's like, hello, are you guys paying attention to anything that's going on around you? But listen to this. He goes on. God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root, when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. The first thing that I want you guys to catch this morning about burnout and what Isaiah is speaking to the Israelites and by extension is speaking to us is that when we take our eyes off of God and we put them on idols in our lives, we are absolutely guaranteed to experience burnout. He puts his finger right on this thing. And this is one of the cool things about Isaiah is he says, your idol could be something big and grandiose, gold and silver. But then he steps back and he says, but I'm not dismissing the people who can't afford that kind of a thing. Even someone who doesn't have those kind of resources, who goes out and has somebody carve something that hopefully won't fall over. I'm talking to you too. And this is a reality in our lives. We all have idols. There are things in our lives that are idols. Money, power, fame, those are big ones. But even beyond that, comfort, simplicity, your pillow, food, sports. Here's the thing. An idol is anything that we choose to replace God with, that we put in his place. And this tends to happen. This especially happens, and we'll unpack this a little bit more in a minute. This especially happens when we become comfortable. That's the most dangerous point. When we grind, and we're working so hard, and we're trusting the Lord, and then everything starts to get good, and then we start to level out. And at that moment, we start to embrace comfort. And we start to embrace security because we don't want to lose this position that we have. And we start fixating on those kinds of things. And instead of trusting the Lord and where he wants us perhaps to go next, we begin focusing on what we already have. Even the position that we have can become an idol because we don't want to lose this thing because we're trusting this thing now instead of trusting the Lord and where he wants us to go, which, by the way, could be an uncomfortable place. That's just the reality of what faith is. Faith is trusting the Lord to take us to places that he wants us to go in spite of our comfort level. We trust him to guide us. We trust and believe in him that where he's taking us is to the place and the purpose that he wants. And it may cost us something. It may require us giving something up. It may require us letting something go in our lives. And so the reality here is that the first area that burnout can happen is when we take our eyes off the Lord and we start focusing on the idols in our lives, whatever those things happen to be. And we have to be very careful of that. Let's continue on. Look at verse 25. And again, you're going to hear this theme repeated. He comes back to the question, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. By the way, if you guys haven't, the moon is I think it's a new, Jess, is it a new moon right now? Where it's coming up super early in the morning. Go outside and look up this weekend. I don't know if you guys have seen the stars, but oh my goodness, it is phenomenal. Look up into the heavens. Who created all of the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. See, we name some of the stars, right? There's all these different names we have in these constellations, and we give them all these fancy names like Sirius and all this, and God's like, no, that's Bob. What are you talking about, Sirius? Like, what? That's not Orion. Like, that's Fred. What are you doing? Like, he already gave them names. Like, we try to come up with all these cool, Betelgeuse last night. You know, like the which is part of the Orion constellation, is a really bright one there. And he's like, Betelgeuse? God's like, what are you talking about, Betelgeuse? Like, where are you coming up with this stuff? That's Mike. What are you talking about? Like, I already named him before you guys even were around. Like, this has already been settled. What are you guys doing? Listen to this. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Now, O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all of the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fail in exhaustion. The second thing that Isaiah is pointing out to Israel, specifically now to Israel, and by extension to us, is that burnout happens when we take our eyes off of God and we start focusing on our troubles. If you go back and look at that, verse 27, it says, Jacob, how can you say that the Lord does not see your trouble? And then he goes even further. Like, Israel, how dare you? How dare you say that God is ignoring your rights as his kids? Are you serious right now? You think that God's just blind to the realities of what's going on around you? This is Isaiah. I mean, this is a fiery prophet. He's in your face, and he's speaking this to Israel, struggling and frustrated and feeling like, where is God in all of this? And I'm sure every single one of us has at least considered that thought over the last 12 months. God, where are you? In all of the craziness and all of the chaos of all of the different things that are going on in the world around us, God, what is going on? Are you even paying attention? Like, do you see what we're dealing with here? It's the same stuff. But here's the problem. Israel was focusing on their trouble and not focusing on the Lord. And there's this thing called target fixation. It has a lot to do with like downhill skiing and mountain biking and stuff. When you're moving really fast, and there's things around you. It actually happens to vehicles as well. If there's something on the side of the road, you can actually fixate on like that car that stalled on the side of the road. And mechanically, as your brain is paying attention to that, your hands will actually move that direction. I don't know if you've ever caught yourself doing that. It's kind of scary. And you're like, oh, shoot. Oh my goodness, all of a sudden. But this is what's happening to Israel. They're suffering from a target fixation. They're suffering from focusing on the wrong thing in their life, the troubles in their life. Now, I'm not saying that we just ignore our troubles. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that they have made their trouble the middle of their life, the middle of their attention. They've made it their idol instead of focusing on the Lord. But look at this next verse, verse 31. This is what's really interesting where he brings this all together. He says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be afraid. If you trust in the Lord, Isaiah is telling you, you will find new strength. That's an interesting concept. Why? Because your old strength isn't enough now. It was back then. See, God gave you the strength for whatever that last thing was, right? And now what you need is new strength for this new thing that's in front of you. And what is constantly happening is that our eyes are getting off of the Lord and focusing on old things, things that are behind us, things that are distracting us, things that are in the way, instead of focusing on Him and the new strength that He provides to us to tackle that which is directly in front of us. Your old strength isn't good enough for today. That's what happens when we get complacent, right? You plane out. This thing about soaring high on wings like eagles. It's like you can be an eagle or you can be a chicken. I used to raise chickens. Chickens put a ton of energy in trying to get off the ground. They run, they flap their wings like crazy, and they might go 10 feet and crash into a tree, barely make it up onto the branch or whatever. Have you ever noticed that if you've ever watched chickens before or chased chickens, which is a ton of fun, but if you've ever done, they expend a huge amount of energy doing almost nothing, trying to fly, trying to do all these things. Have you ever just watched a hawk or an eagle gliding on the airstream? They're expending almost zero energy. Why? Because they're not the one exerting the energy. See, the difference between a chicken and an eagle is that a chicken is doing everything in its own strength to try to accomplish this next thing. The eagle is recognizing, I'm going to let the draft of the wind, I'm going to let the strength of the wind carry me instead of doing it myself. That is profound. That image is profoundly huge for us as followers of Jesus. You can be a chicken and you can spend a lot of energy burning, trying as hard as you can, getting basically nowhere, or you can trust the Lord, keep your eyes focused on Him, and allow, if you will pardon the metaphor, the wind of the Holy Spirit to lift you. Why does it say even youths will become weak and tired and young men will fail in exhaustion? Have you ever seen young people just dumping tons and tons of energy into something and not getting very far with it. And you're like, there's an easier way, there's a better way, there's a smarter way. And they're like, I can do it, I can do it. And they're just, and they're just trying as hard as they can. You're like, no, seriously, like, there's a better way, there's a smarter way. No, you know, that's what he's talking about here, this idea that in our own strength, it's just never, it's not enough. But if we trust in the Lord, he will give us new strength. So turn with me to Psalm 18. Let's look at verses 27 through 36. Psalm 18, 27 through 36. I want to unpack for you guys what this new strength, what this trust in the Lord thing looks like. Because we talk about, oh, I just got to trust the Lord. I just got to trust the Lord. Okay, that's good. And I'm glad that we're thinking that direction. But what does it mean to trust in the Lord? What does trusting in the Lord look like? What is it about him that we're trusting in? Let's take a look. Psalm 18, verse 27 through 36. You rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. That's interesting. Because a proud person tries to do everything in their own strength, don't they? A humble person says, I'm not enough. Verse 28, you light a lamp for me. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. Hold on to that. In your strength, I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises proven true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? There are three things that the psalmists are telling us that trusting in the Lord looks like. There are three things that the psalmist is telling us God is, positionally is, in spite of us and the troubles we get into. Let's take a look at this. The first thing, it says that God is a lamp. And this is so beautiful because if you go back to Abraham and the covenant that he made with God, which he actually didn't make with God because it was the lamp and it was the little furnace. And if you unpack that, it's a theophany of Jesus making the covenant on Abraham's behalf. Because if you make a covenant and you break a covenant, you have to die for it. And God knew that. And God didn't want to kill Abraham because the promise came through Abraham for the plan that he had. And so instead, Jesus steps in and says, Father, I'll make the covenant on his behalf, even though he's going to break it, and I'm going to die for it someday. Hello, way back in Genesis, unpacking the whole of the story for us here. He's our lamp. God is our lamp. And what's interesting is it says, in my darkness. Not the darkness out there in the world. My darkness. Your darkness. Our darkness. See, here's what's interesting. Is that the lamp will expose these dark places. Maybe these are places we didn't know that had darkness in our lives. And it's like, oh, wow, I got to deal with that. Maybe, let's all be honest, maybe these are our little pet darknesses that we've been trying to hide from God, right? Like, no, this one's okay. It's small, you know, and I feed it every once in a while, and it's just so cute and fluffy, but then someday it's going to grow up and be gigantic and, you know, tear your face off. And God's like, no, we got to deal with this stuff. Sometimes we don't realize there's darkness in our life, and he shines his lamp into our lives, and we get to deal with that. Sometimes he confronts us and says, that darkness there that you're holding on as a pet, you need to let it go, because that is not going to, there's nothing good going to come out of this for you. So the first thing that God is he's a lamp that deals with, that shines his light of truth onto my darkness. Let's not worry about the darkness out there as much as we need to worry about what's going on in our own lives. And when we get that right, then that stuff out there we can face because we're trusting the Lord. The second thing you'll see here in verse 30, it says that God is our shield. Why do you need a shield? You use a shield to protect your vulnerabilities. God is our shield because we're vulnerable. Because there are areas in our life maybe where pride is still there. And he's working on those and trying to expose us so that he doesn't humiliate us or have to humiliate us in those areas in our life. But God is our shield for my vulnerabilities, for the areas where I'm weak, for the areas where, as he's shielding that attack that's coming, or a default in myself that is going to trip me up, then his Holy Spirit works in those areas, and those vulnerabilities become less and less as we become more and more in the trusting in the Lord category. The third one it says there is that he is a solid rock, that God is our solid rock. For what? For my instabilities. The places in my mind where I waver, the places in my soul where I struggle and doubt and wrestle in negative ways that aren't going to draw me closer to the Lord. That he is our firm foundation. And that if we trust in him, our instabilities, our waverings are taken care of, begin to be processed out and taken care of, shored up, that we're chasing after him. Now, here's what's interesting, and I want to conclude with this. If you look at verse 32, the psalmist does this amazing thing. Let me read this, and then let me just point this out to you guys. God arms me with strength, and he makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hand for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. Now it transitions directly speaking to God. You have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. You have made a wide path for my feet to keep them from slipping. Here's what I want you guys to catch. It's what we talk about all the time. It's this God first. God initiates. You see this over and over in each one of these little phrases, these lines of this psalm. He does this for me. He's doing this for me. He's providing this for me. He's taking care of this for me. See, the fact of the matter is, if you flip that around and you're like, I can do this thing. I can make a shield. I can try to be sure. That's what we're talking about here. That's what Isaiah's pointing out. That causes burnout when we are the ones trying to do it instead of recognizing the reality that he already has, through Jesus Christ, done all of these things, provided all of these things, set all of these things up for us, established all of these things for us. You don't have to do the work like a crazy chicken running around trying to flap your wings and get off the ground. He's like, I already did it. As a matter of fact, I already got the wind going for you. All you have to do is spread your wings and trust me for new strength. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I feel like each one of us needs to do a little thinking and soul searching for my darkness. And for my vulnerabilities, and for my instabilities, for the areas where we're not trusting you. Lord, we need your new strength. We cannot do this. We've been, I think some of us, myself included, been trying to do this in some ways on our own this last year, and it's just caused burnout. Lord, we need you, and we need your strength, and we need to trust in you for everything that you are and everything that you've already done and provided and laid out and prepared for us to step into and participate with you in. Lord, that's what we need. Give us the courage to get rid of that darkness and get rid of those vulnerabilities and get rid of those instabilities in our lives that we've been holding on to like idols, and give us faith to trust you for the future that you have for us. I pray this in the insurmountable, amazing, abundant name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.